We're going to pray and get started. Father, we just thank you and we give praise and give you the glory, Father. Father, we thank you that you open our eyes that we see, our ears to hear, and you give us a heart to understand what you're saying to us. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Last week, we was ministering on the prophets, so we're going to continue along that line tonight. I still need to go back and go over our basic scriptures, so we can keep them before us. The word of God says, so then faith coming by hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. So our basic foundational scriptures, and we can go back to 1 Corinthians first and see what the word of God says here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And looking at verse 27, the word of God here says the Apostle Paul is speaking to the Corinthian church, and he's beginning to reestablish God's government in the church. And one of the things he says here in 1 Corinthians 12 and 27, he says, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, government, and diversity of tongues. That's our first foundational scripture. We can go back and look at Ephesians 2, 19 and 20. Ephesians 2, 19 and 20. We go in and look at that passage of scripture. Ephesians 2 and 19, it says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So we understand that we are reestablishing God's government in the church. The body of Christ have to understand this. We have to be taught it. We have to train. And as we see these scriptures and see them over and over and over, over again, and then we can begin to have faith for what God is reestablishing in the earth realm. He's reestablishing his government, his apostolic government in the earth realm. God is at this time doing this. While we're here, let's turn to right over to Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to look at that. Ephesians chapter 3. Since we're here, we're going to look at that part. In Ephesians chapter 3, looking at verse 3, it says that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. This is Apostle Paul talking to the Ephesians church. How by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote before in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. In verse 5, he said, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and the prophets by the Spirit, as is being revealed now. And what God is, again, he's revealing this government. Remember over in Isaiah 9 and beginning at verse 6, where he said he was going to reestablish his government upon on the shoulders of Jesus, and upon his shoulder he said of the end there should be, of the peace there should be no end. And God said the zeal of the Lord shall perform this. So God is saying, I'm going to do this. I'm going to reestablish my government in the earth realm. I'm the one who's responsible, so I will do this. Man is not responsible. What I'm going to do, I'm going to find a person, an individual, some individuals who is going to be obedient to what I tell them to do. And as they are obedient to what I tell them to do, then they will tell you what I'm saying. And what the apostles are doing, the apostles and the prophets, they are looking to heaven. They're finding out what heaven wants here on the earth. And since they're wanting to find out what heaven wants here on earth, and then they'll begin to reveal it to the body of Christ and let you know what God is reestablishing in the earth realm. That's why it's so important for the apostle, our apostle in particular. He spends much time in prayer and in seeking God and then studying of the word. What he's doing, he's still, each time he's in prayer, God reveals things to him and he's telling him what he wants to happen in the earth realm. Turn to Amos chapter 3, another verse we covered last week, but we're going to see it again. Amos chapter 3 and 7. Amos 3 and 7. Here the word of God says, he says, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. And so, again, we're covering the prophet area, so we want to make sure that we understand that the prophets are hearing from heaven, and as they are hearing from heaven, they are coming back and revealing these things to the body of Christ. One more scripture I want to go over before we get started in tonight's lesson and giving you some pointers. Turn to Ephesians, since we're here, Ephesians chapter 4. You say, but Brother John, we've heard these scriptures. But again, this school is called Ever Increasing Word Training Center. Ever Increasing Word Training Center. So the more you hear it, the more you will have faith for what God is saying to you. And so here in Ephesians chapter 4, again, I saw reading at verse 4. And we have to know where we are, where we stand. And so here in verse 4, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, there is one body and one spirit, even as your calling, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Verse 7 says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. And we who are now in the body of Christ, we call these the fivefold ministry gifts or the fivefold ministry graces. And what God has done, what Jesus did, he took these graces and he put it in men. And he found individuals that he would impart these graces to. When Apostle Paul was speaking earlier, he said, are all apostles, everybody's not an apostle. In Corinthians 12, he said, are all prophets, everybody's not a prophet. Everybody's not a teacher. But he did what he did. He gave these gifts to men. He imparted these graces, these gifts into men. And as he imparted these gifts into men, the purpose of them was so that they can impart them to the body of Christ. He said he gave these gifts. If you look at the next verse here, he said, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And verse 12 say, for the perfecting of the saints. For the perfecting of the saints. I mean the maturing of the saints. If we are not mature in these things of God, the Apostle Paul and the Galatians tell us that we are no different than a servant. Even though we be son and Lord and heirs of all, we still are no more than a servant. Because why? We don't know how to operate in what God has provided for us. And until we train and grow up in the things of God, then we cannot operate the way God set it up. He says, goes on to say here, he says, for the perfecting of the saints, verse 12, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And as God began to show, and I hear, and I begin to seek God and pray to God, and so some of the things that he reveals, see, God is concerned about edifying, building up. He's thinking, he just don't think about locally, and he's going to bless you, But he thinks about edifying and building up. You think about going into nations. And when you think about this ministry, we are going into nations preaching the gospel. If you look at our vision here behind us, it said we are changing the lives of people with the word of God. It said we are equipping the body of Christ to evangelize the world. And one of the things, when God made a promise, he gave that promise to Abraham. And when he told Abraham over in Genesis chapter 12, he told him that he was going to bless him. He was going to bless all those that bless him. He was going to curse those that curse him. He said, until all nations of the earth be blessed. So when God called an individual, his whole purpose is for that purpose, that man or that woman, to go out and impart what God is saying so that those individuals can be blessed. And so he says, watch what he says. He said, until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, into a perfect man, until the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's where he wants us. He wants us that we, when Jesus came and walked the earth, he was our example by which every believer should be walking and operating in this earth realm. Jesus, one of the things that Jesus said in 1 John 3:8, he said he was manifested that he may destroy the works of the devil. So part of our goal, our initial operation, what we should be doing, our mode of operation, we should be destroying the works of the devil. Anytime we walk up on something that Satan has did to a believer, then we who are trained should be able to destroy that work. That's what God said, I did, that's what I want. And so Jesus told us in John, he said, and the works that I do, shall you do also in greater ways. Turn to John chapter 13. John 14, you look over at it. John 14:12, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall you do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. That's a powerful statement that Jesus have told us in his word. He basically prophesied. He was a prophet. Jesus was a prophet. And so he prophesied to us. He said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works shall you do, because I go unto my Father. And so what he was letting us know, that when he left and he go and ascend to the Father, and he told us that he was going to send us back a helper, which was the Holy Spirit. And the way he did the works that he did while he was here on the earth, we should be able to do those exact same works. And we should do it the way he did it also. And so he said, the works that I do. So we should be, the works we should be doing is destroying the works of the devil. And if we are trained how to do it, if we know how to do it, then we can operate in this kingdom. It's a supernatural kingdom. We should always be seeing signs and wonders and miracles operating in our lives. It should be as natural as breathing to us. It's supernatural. It's a supernatural kingdom. It's not a natural kingdom. And since it's not a natural kingdom, we should be seeing the same results that they saw, Jesus saw. We should be seeing the same results that the apostles saw in the book of Acts. And so it, as we are trained, as we learn, I remember earlier we gave you that scripture, we are planting seed, you're receiving words. And he's, the word of God says in Mark 4:26, he says, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should sow seed into the ground. What he's saying is, as we plant words, sow these seeds, the word of God, into your spirit. He said, the seeds shall spring up and grow, you know not how. He said, but first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. So it's a process by which we learn how to operate. You say, well, I'm sitting here, I'm studying. I don't see the results that I expect. But God said, sometimes it happens suddenly, but most time it's a process that takes place. And so you're going through the process right now. And as you go through the process, then you'll be able to operate the way God set it up. Let me give you some principles here on the prophet. Last week we gave you that good example over in 2 Chronicles about the prophet, where God says, believe in his prophets, believe the Lord thy God, so shall you be established, believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And what he's saying is that whatever comes out of that prophet's mouth, we receive him as a prophet from God, that he's speaking for God. And then once we receive him that way, then that which comes out of his mouth can manifest in our life. If we believe it, we have to first believe what he's saying. Remember Matthew 10 and 41, another awesome scripture. Matthew 10, 41 says, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man reward. So it's a principle that God set up. We who receive an apostle in the name of an apostle shall receive an apostle's reward. So those things that's on the apostle's life, God has imparted those in them. And what they do is come and impart those graces as we're listening, as we're hearing, as we're seeing what they are doing, as they're being manifested in our lives, it should also be manifesting in our lives. The apostle keeps us believing, but the prophets keep us expecting God is coming. So what the apostle, what the prophet is doing, he's telling us things that God has told him, and he's telling us events, future events that's going to happen to us as he come, as he speak for God. The dynamic ways in which God speaks to the prophet, including dreams, visions, and trances, creates an awareness of God's involvement with us. It creates an awareness. Let us know that God is operating with us. He's involved with his people, and so he's telling it through the prophet. He's telling it through the apostles what heaven wants to happen here on earth. Again, I go back, and as the scripture comes up, I reveal them to the year. In Matthew chapter 6, one of the things that God says to when the apostles, the disciples came to Jesus, and they asked him to teach them to pray, and what he told them, he said, pray this way. One of the things, I always see that scripture, we miss that part where God said he already know what we have need of. But then the next thing he says is, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So when Jesus came back, after he was hung on the cross, he finished the work, and he came back through earth those 40 days that he was ministering, and he was teaching his apostles, and he was teaching his disciples, and all those who was with him about the kingdom of God. And he was revealing to them, this is what the kingdom of God should look like. This is what they should be operating in. There should always be signs and wonders and miracles operating in your life as you're operating in the kingdom. Again, I say this is not a natural kingdom. It's a supernatural kingdom that we who are in the body of Christ are in. We are supernatural beings. We are spiritual beings because we took on the nature of God himself. That's why God says, he said, look, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, he said, let us create man in our image, after our likeness. And he told him, he said, let them have dominion. He gave us dominion over all the fowls of the air, all the fish of the sea. And he said, over every creeping thing that creepeth up on the face of the earth. So he's given us the dominion. But what happened, Adam came along, he gave up that dominion. He not only he gave us dominion, but he blessed them. He spoke a word into our life. He said, God blessed them. And he told us to go and multiply and replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. So he spoke that word into our lives, and if we heard what he said, and then those things should be manifesting in our lives. But Adam came along, and he gave up that dominion when he disobeyed God, and he gave it up. But then Jesus came back along, and he came back to restore us back to our dominion, that place that God had for us in the garden, that original place. And so when he came back and restored us, that's why, again, I say we are built up on, it says built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And so what Jesus did, he came back, he restored us, he finished the work, and now, and so when we hear our apostle minister, he said, and tell us, he says, everything that we need to operate in this kingdom has already been provided for us. Jesus did it for us on the cross. And when he got ready to leave, after he hung there on the cross, he said, and he got ready to go back to heaven, he said, it is finished. And so now when we operate, when we operate in this kingdom, we are operating from a different perspective now. We're looking from a different point of view. And so one of the things that, you know, as he's been revealing to him, heaven has been revealing to him, he's been coming back imparting these things to us. We are seeking God from a different perspective. We are seeking God now from a perspective that everything that we need has already been provided for us. And so when we pray to God, we're not praying for something, for God to do something. We're just thanking him for something that he's already provided for us. One of the things that we go back and the Word of God says Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And so since he redeemed us from the curse of the law, we know that there was only three things that was in that curse. That was sickness and disease. That was lack and poverty. And so, and that was a third thing was the second death. That means once we accepted him, we're going to go on and live eternally with the Father. And so, but if we've been redeemed from the curse of the law, the sickness and disease, we've been redeemed from that too. But then as we are being taught, as we're being trained, including myself, I'm being taught also that now what we do, our spirit, our recreated spirit has already been created in the image of God. And so since we have the image of God on the inside of us, we have to go in and recreate our mind. We have to take on God's thoughts. We have to take on what God has said to us. And when we look at the Word of God, it's just like when we're looking at a natural man, we're looking at the spiritual realm. And so what happens is when we look at ourselves naturally in the mirror, we get a reflection back of who we are in the natural. But if we take the Word of God, the Apostle Paul, he told us over in Romans 12:2, and he told what he said. He said, and be not conform to this world. He said, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might know what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so now when the enemy comes along and he tells you something, he tried to deceive you in terms of deception, putting something on you, sickness and disease. He say, well, you now have cancer. And you go into the physician, and the physician says there's no cure for the type of cancer that you have. There's no cure for you. It may be a fact in the natural that these things are in you, but the truth gonna change that fact. And if you go and think about what the Word of God, my mind is not going to accept what it says. What I'm going to do, I'm going to look in the mirror. And the mirror is going to be the Word of God. Turn to Isaiah chapter 53. And this is how this kingdom operates. And as we learn and grow and mature in the things of God, then we begin to look at the Word of God as our mirror rather than looking at what the world system says should be happening. Isaiah 53. And I'll just read through these a couple passages of scripture here. Here in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3, and this is a prophet. This is a prophet Isaiah. And the prophet Isaiah began to prophesy what was going to happen when Jesus come. And this was long before it happened. He said in verse 3, he said, "He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." He says, "Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten, and smitten of God and afflicted." Verse 5 is what I want you to see. It says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." That's what the Word of God tells us. That's what the Word of God says. It doesn't matter what the fact shows us. It tells us that we are healed. That's when Jesus said, "It is finished." That's one of the things that he came to finish for us. And that's why when he says in Philippians said that we have been redeemed from the curse. Those curses was written if they didn't follow the law to the letter. Then God said these curses over in Deuteronomy 28, beginning at verse 1 through 15. And then the 15th verse began the curses that would happen. And he said now, but all those curses that was part of the law, we have been redeemed from them because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. He took every iniquity that I had committed. He took it on himself. He took every sickness and disease, all sin. He took it on himself, and he took it to the cross with him. And when he took it to the cross, he took it to the grave, and then all he did. And you know, I like the example where he took all my sins and he gave me his coat, whatever was on him, his righteousness, he gave it to me. His health, he gave it to me. His prosperity, he gave it to me. So if he had a coat of sickness on him, if I had a coat of sickness on him, on me, Jesus took his coat of health off of him, and he put it on me when he went to the cross. That's why we can say it is finished, what Jesus did on the cross. And so we have to look at that cross and see what Jesus did and begin to acclimate it to our lives. I turned to Joel, and I told you, I gave you a pointer. I say the dynamic ways in which God speaks to the prophets, including dreams, visions, and trances, creates an awareness of God's involvement with us. Over here in Joel chapter 2. And we will begin to read 26. And through 28. In verse 26, there's another prophet, and he began to speak. And these are things that's going to happen in the future. He was talking about things that was coming to the children of God, the ones who've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Here in verse Joel 2 and 26, they say, "You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, that had dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel." We are the spiritual Israel. And so he should, like I say, that God, I made the statement that God's involvement is with us. "And you shall know that I am," which God said, "in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed." And he says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." That has happened already. It happened in the book of Acts. When he came in Acts, if you look at Acts 2 and 1, it says that, he said, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord came in like a mighty rushing wind, and it lit upon all of them. And they said they all began, it said it got filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so this little prophecy that occurred from before we got here, that was a prophet, he said. And so he goes on and says, he said, and I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people should never be ashamed. And it should come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And so God says, I show my prophets, I show them in visions what's going to happen. I reveal to them what's going to happen to you. And so what happens as we see these visions and see these dreams, and the Spirit of God reveal things to us, and we after much prayer and sitting in his presence, he come in, and then we come in and impart that to the body of Christ so we can know what God is bringing from heaven and bringing it to the earth. Again, it's, we want to make sure that we are finding out what heaven wants here on earth. We have to know that. We have to know what heaven wants so we can bring that to the earth. Turn to Acts. I want to show you again. This is an Old Testament version. Turn to Acts chapter 1. Let me make this statement. The anointing on the prophet actually equips us to have our own heavenly experiences. And so, again, here in Acts chapter 1, the word of God here says, Apostle Paul, the Acts of the Apostles, it says, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. He said, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proof, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So when after he came up, after his resurrection, he came back and he was seen by many of the disciples and apostles, and he began to teach them. He began to teach them about the things of the kingdom. He went on to say here, and being assembled together with them, that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said, you have heard of me. And so when we talk about the body of Christ being filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, when he was with them over in, if you go and look at Luke 24 and 49, this is what he told them. He said, behold, I send the promise of my Father up on you. He said, but tarry ye here in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And so that was Jesus. Jesus was a prophet. And so he was telling them what was going to happen to them. And so they believe exactly what he said. When he spoke those words to them, they did not leave. They went to this place. There was about 120 of them. And they went to this place called the Upper Room. It was all of his disciples, his mother Mary, and like I said, it was about that whole little entourage that was with him. But they believed exactly what he said. I mean, he said, don't depart. Go here and stay. And so what he went on to say, he said, verse 5, say, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore came together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Their question was, they was not looking at a spiritual kingdom. They was looking for God, for Jesus to come back and restore a natural kingdom back to them, where they would be in charge of everything. And so he was telling them in verse 7, he said, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time or the season which the Father has put in his own power. Verse 8 said, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. He said, once that power, once that anointing, once that Holy, once the Holy Spirit, the one that I said I was going to send from my Father, come up on you, then you will begin to operate like I operated when I was here on the earth. The works that I did while I was here, you should be able to do the same works. He said, "You go. The works I do, shall you do also, because I go unto my Father." He was telling us that what he was when he go to his Father, he was going to send back the helper, the same helper that he had while he was here on the earth, which was the Holy Spirit, and he's going to help us. He's going to show us. Anybody who operate in the kingdom the way Jesus operate, we're going to have to be led of the Spirit. We're going to have to be, Romans 8 and 14 say, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And since we are the sons of God, Jesus himself was the Son of God. He was also the Son of Man, but he was the Son of God. And so he did those supernatural acts. He did your signs and those wonders. And he said, the works that I do, shall you do also in greater works, because I go to my Father. And he was telling me that I'm going to send you that helper. I'm going to send you another helper. And when he sent that helper, then we was going to be able to do the same works that he did while he was here. And so I just read verses, Acts chapter 2, and we'll see what happened after. This is what the Joel prophesied back. And so let's read Acts chapter 2, and so we can get some more information on that. In Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, it say, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, it say they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them an utterance. So now what happened as when they sit there, they received that power. And when they received the power, then their whole nature, everything changed in them. And when they changed, now they had the power, they had the authority, and they had the ability to go out and act like Jesus did when he was here on earth. Those were apostles. And so again, we can go back and we can see, we can look at Ephesians 2, 19 and 20 now, where it says, built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. The apostles, the prophets have spoken what heaven wants. The apostles have laid a foundation. Jesus came and laid a foundation, the original foundation. The apostles began to build up on that foundation. And so, and what we're doing, we keep in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. We keep rolling along. It keeps, we keep training individuals so they can operate in the kingdom the way Jesus operated. But we, somewhere along the line, we got off course. And man began to do his own thing. And when he began to do his own things, and then they lost the power. They lost the ability to act the way God wanted them to do. But once he came back, well, I'll turn back to Acts while we're here. Their own heavenly experiences. Acts chapter 2, we're here in Acts chapter 2, and this is after the Holy Spirit came. And I'm running the apostles and the prophets together here because I want you to see how it's operating. I've showed you some in the apostles, but I want you to see that the prophets are actually speaking for God. The apostles are laying that foundation. They're going into territory. They are pioneers. They are reestablishing God's doctrine in the church. They're setting doctrine for the church itself. Here in Acts chapter 2, looking at verse 42, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayer. And fear came up on every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." So it sounds like what Jesus was doing when he was here on the earth. Jesus was doing signs and wonders and miracles. So now the apostles is taking up what Jesus left off from. And the signs and wonders are following him, them also, following these apostles. And so one more scripture, we can go with that. Turn to Acts chapter 5. Looking at verse 11, it says, "And great fear," 5 and 11, "and great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles was many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they was all in one accord in Solomon's porch. And so, again, there's those signs and wonders. We're going to find out as we get into the teacher, and we're going to look at our master teacher, which was Jesus himself, and we're going to find out as he was not only teaching the word of God, he was also doing the word of God. As he taught, manifestation was coming forth from him. And again, we have to have a conviction that Jesus was our example when he walked the earth. He walked the earth not as God, but he walked the earth as a man. And he showed us how we should operate in this kingdom. And if we train ourselves, if we learn, we listen, and then we can begin to operate in the kingdom the way Jesus himself operated in the kingdom. Again, this point I was giving, this principle I was giving, the anointing on the prophets actually equips us to have our own heavenly experience. Matthew 10:41 tells us, "He who receive a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward." What is that reward? The reward is to see and hear what the Spirit is doing and saying. And so through that prophet, when he began to speak, we can begin to see what the Spirit is doing. We can begin to see what he is saying. Jesus, who modeled the office of the prophet, walked around giving supernatural sight to all others all the time. Turn to Luke chapter 24. We're going to look at scripture here in Luke 24. Beginning at verse 18, in Luke 24:18, it says, I start reading at 17. It says, "And he said unto them," he said, "what manner," that's when he walked up, he was walking on the road there. He said, "what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as you walk and are sad?" Verse 18 says, the part before that was Jesus asking those men that he walked up behind. And verse 18 says, "And the one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast thou not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them," what things? This is Jesus speaking. "And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people." So what he was doing, Jesus himself, he was a mighty prophet walking the earth. And so he was, again, prophesying about things that was going to happen to the body of Christ. He was showing disciples and apostles what the kingdom should be back. He told us that when he walk away, when he leave, I told you that scripture. Turn over to Luke 24 and 49. That's where he prophesied to them. And in Acts, that's what I told you. He didn't just casually ask them about staying in Jerusalem. He actually commanded them to stay. Here in Luke 24 and 49, he said, "And behold," that's after he finished talking to them. He said, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." He said, "But tarry ye here in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." That's in what he told them. And then he said, "And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hand and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven." So that was basically the last thing he told his disciples when he was walking on that road with them. And he said, "Tarry ye here in Jerusalem." Until he said, "The way I did, what I did while I was on here on earth, you're going to do the exact same thing. And the way I did it is the way you're going to do it." He said, "But you got to be endued. You got to have that power." Endued means that the Spirit of God have to come in us and in every fiber, every cell of our body, the Holy Spirit have to be in it. We have to know that he's there operating through us and in us. Word of God tells us, he said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus," over in Philippians chapter 3. And so what we're doing, once we was born again, our spirit is recreated. So our spirit is formed in a mind of God. But again, we have to change this mindset. We have to go in and recreate, retransform this mindset, and so we can begin to think like God, think like Jesus, and then we can begin to do those works that Jesus did while he was here on the earth. The prophets and apostles can get along fabulous because both are looking into heaven and recreating what they see there here on earth. So what they're doing, again, they are looking to heaven. Keep that in your focus, in your mind. They're looking to heaven. They're finding out what heaven wants here on earth. And they are either setting it up, the apostles himself is setting it up. The prophets is speaking for that which they are hearing from heaven and bringing that to earth. When Jesus was here, and it says, one of the ways he was operating when he was here, if you go over in Luke, it says when he came to the Jordan River and he got ready to be baptized, it said when he, because we know, we shows us here that he was a prophet, so he's here from heaven. He's hearing, it said he came up out of the water and the Spirit of God lit on him like a dove, over in Luke 2. It said, "And the heavens was open, and he heard a voice from heaven." So that means he's hearing from heaven. He heard a voice from heaven. And the word came and he said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." So we who are operating in the kingdom of God, the way God set it up, we have to be operating on an open heaven. So that's what the apostles and the prophets is doing. They're hearing from heaven. And then God is speaking through them, through the Holy Spirit. And when he speaks to them, he tells them. And they come back and impart those things to us. Amen. Father God, we thank you. And we praise you and give you glory, Father. Father, we thank you that we are no longer just hearers of your word, but we have now become doers of what you tell us to do. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. The meditation scripture for this particular class is John 14 and 13. Let me make sure I get the right one so my online students can have it. John 14 and 12 will be the meditation scripture for this class. So verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall you do also, and greater works than these, because I go unto my Father. Amen. Mm-hmm.